Hello, everybody. It's Kateri.
And Owen, how are you today? How have you been? I haven't spoken to you in a while. We've took a very long hiatus.
Welcome to the Soothsayer's Tea. We're going to be discussing cults for the third
Yay.
time. You're going to be hearing it once, but this is the
Three
Okay.
hours.
So, just in context of this, is that we recorded a first episode. We're talking about like actual cult leaders. Figured out we had no idea what we were talking about. At least we weren't smart enough to get what was going on into our brains out onto paper. So we recorded a second episode, and it was fantastic, and it was great. And then I decided to not check the recording and wait till last minute to edit it because we had to take a little bit of a hiatus. And I still kind of goofed off on it. And the day of when I went in to edit it, I realized that the recording didn't want to listen to Owen anymore.
Yeah, halfway through it just stopped recording me.
Yep. I think it was recording because we can see the lines that come up. I think it just didn't save the second part, which is so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we just basically had to scrap that episode. So yeah, we're actually just going to be freeballing it. Screw our notes. We're just going
Yeah,
to
we're
go.
done. At this point, we are done. We are finished.
For the
Never doing
record,
this again.
this is Owen's fault because he disrespected the Emperor, and now the Emperor is coming back and rearing its ugly head to punish us for his insolence.
Yeah, I mean 100%. This is 100% down to me just chatting shit about the Emperor all day long. I am
Exactly.
anti-spiritual bypassing. Do not remove any cards from your deck, but I will be removing the Emperor from all decks that I have and all future decks from now on, out of spite.
It. All right. So we have opinions, and we wanted to originally discuss cults and cult leaders and such like that. But what we're actually really want to discuss is just kind of abuse of authority in general in spiritual spaces. And we're actually kind of looking a little smaller, and not so much like global scale, or since a global scale, but like cult leaders by any means. But we see basically, for all intents and purposes, what the definition of a cult be, what a cult would be in small circles, like Discord servers, social media, TikTok. I see it a lot. We see just a lot of really weird behaviors. We're not saying that these people are cult leaders, but we're saying that if they had a option, they would be, if they had the chance.
Yeah, and I mean the thing is as well, it's not even us being bitchy, and like it might be a little bit of that, but it's also these people also have a lot of the characteristics of a cult leader, which we will be discussing later in this video. But video.
Video,
Video.
podcast,
Podcast. Episode. Episode. Yeah, there we go.
episode. There we go.
So I mean, yeah. The Like, okay, let's start easy. Let's start about the characteristics of a cult leader as described by Robert J. Lifton.
Yes.
One more time, let me think slightly harder. Okay, I need to get these in order. I can remember these. I can remember these. I don't need to look at my notes. Okay, so Robert J. Lifton wrote the definitive book about thought reform, which you may know as brainwashing. And he's like studied a lot about cults. He's talked a lot about cult formation and wrote papers on it and is genuinely considered to be an expert in the field. And he defined a cult as having these three characteristics. So, a charismatic leader, so someone who is sort of the object of worship and who is the like they are in complete control and they cannot be criticized or else you are considered to be like heretical. Now, they will also be using coercive persuasion. That is the second characteristic. And that would also be sort of called thought reform or brainwashing. You might be more familiar with it. That is the third characteristic being exploitation of the group members by the leader. This can be economic, sexual, just generally abusive and controlling behavior. And those are the things you need to look out for. There's a lot of that is not everything. That does not a cult make, but those are the three things that you need to be on the watch out for. So write that down and commit it to memory, like I apparently have done.
Yes, and when we say cults, it's like that's obviously going to be like the big ones, right? I don't want to necessarily name any names because some of them are crazy and murderous. But we know what we're talking about. We're looking at you, science fiction writers. But there is like cult levels which are almost obvious to a point, and I don't think anybody listening here is that stupid to get caught up in a cult. But I think that all of us are stupid enough to get caught up in a cult of personality
Yeah,
easily.
absolutely.
And
And go
no,
ahead.
like we see that a lot with social media influencers. And I can listen when it comes to certain creators as well, and we're not naming any names because I'm being very vague on this. This is no
And
underlying.
also, because this sort of applies to all creators in general. It's not really about a specific person. This is all things that we can, like, sort of traps that we can fall into and behaviors that we can find ourselves doing without necessarily realizing the power that we can have.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you the person I'm thinking of to show just how much it's not involved with any of the people that we run circles in. Jeffree Star is who the person comes to mind.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
Right? It's a creator that has such a fervent like fan base that even though this person, even though he's done some really terrible things, is that he's going to have this subset of fans that's going to worship the ground that he walks on. And it's funny because these people treat this man like they're his, like he's their friend.
Yeah,
And
they very quickly develop parasocial relationships with them,
exactly. And we
which is
see,
also not healthy.
yeah. And again, I can see that in very many cases showing up in the witchcraft community. We actually see it a lot in New Age circles. And I think that's why, for myself, I kind of push against New Age thought because that is very cult-like. The Love and Lighters, the hippie movement, that can get really dangerous really quickly.
Oh yeah, big time. Especially because in terms of like cult-like behavior, they have all of it, every single characteristic. Because even when you think about it, like it's very obvious. They're not even hiding it because like they'll say things like they will tell you what you have to believe in and that you have to be like positive all of the time and that if you're having negative thoughts, you are being like low vibrational. Or which is a whole, let's not even get into the talk, like the concept of vibrations. But like they will say stuff like this. They'll be like, you are low vibrational, you're a negative energy, get out of my face, get out of my space. When negative emotions and negative thoughts are a very, very key aspect of the human condition. Like no one can be positive all of the time. That is impossible. And that is a very unrealistic expectation of people, and that is incredibly unhealthy. That leads to a lot of denial and a lot of even ableism in cases like this, because they'll say stuff like, they won't directly say stuff like this, but it will be implied. And they'll say stuff like, if you're having negative thoughts, if something bad is happening to you, it is because you are having negative thoughts. And so they will say things like this. And what they're doing is essentially blaming people for their mental illnesses and their disabilities when they're not necessarily at fault.
Yeah, and I found it funny. You're just like, they're not directly saying this. Oh, and sometimes they do just directly say it. That's
Yeah,
the worst
but
part.
that's the worst part. But the thing is, the way that they sort of will get you to fall into this sort of cult-like mindset is they won't directly say it. It will be implied, and you'll look at it and you'll go, yeah, that's a perfectly normal thing to say. Like, that's fair enough. Those are your beliefs. But when you actually start to dissect these beliefs and look at how they apply to real life and to the lives of people who are not as privileged as most of the people who are sort of new age, are, you'll start to see the cracks and the holes, and that's when you'll start to notice a cult-like mindset and behavior.
Exactly. And I think, again, when it comes to examples, is that we can go about the big ones. And then we can also go about like little mini ones, like again, social media influencers. I don't understand the concept of like defending strangers, man. Maybe because I'm old. But it's just that there's like, obviously, there's going to be creators I really enjoy. But if there's any type of criticism lobbed at them, I would listen intently, just to make my form my own opinion on it. I do see it quite often where friends of mine, they'll see a actually a good example is the whole, the slap, the Oscar slap, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who might really like Will Smith would actually...
By the way, for context, mm-hmm. the first two episodes were recorded before the slap even happened, if it gives you any idea of how long we've been trying to do this episode for.
It's been a minute. But yes, so the slap, right? I know people that would not really subscribe to that type of behavior, defend the behavior that Will Smith has done just because they like Will Smith. And I feel that's really stupid because for me is that if I'm really close friends with somebody, if they're doing something that I don't like, or if there's somebody that I really do like or look up to and they're doing something I don't like, I'm going to disagree with it. I'm not going to make excuses for it. I also don't always necessarily think it's reasons to burn them to the ground either. One of my favorite artists just recently started to sell NFTs. And I was just like, ew, gross. Does it mean I respect his work any less? No. Do I have a slightly different opinion of him? Yes? Question mark. Is it enough for me to be like, rip down all my posters and cry in my bed? No. It's just like, you know what? I don't agree with this, and that's okay. And I think that's the problem, is that when people land into these cult-like behaviors, is that they want people to pass a purity test. And when they want people to pass a purity test, what ends up happening is that they come across creators that are very good at manipulating their audience.
Yeah. And the thing is, what a lot of people will do, I've just completely lost my train of thought because I heard a noise. One moment, please. I need to reevaluate my thoughts. What was I about to say? So the thing is, you can disagree with people and still like them and still be their friend. Like, I am friends with someone who is a Thelemite, and we have very, very different views of religion and philosophy and different, like, beliefs. And almost, like, in, like, literally to the point where, like, most of what they will say about something I will disagree with, and most of what I will say they will disagree with. But the thing is, we can still be friends. Like, we still engage socially with each other as friends because we like each other as people. And, like, we don't have to have the same beliefs, and we don't have to have, we don't have to agree 100% on everything to like each other and be friends. And I think that that is something that, a lot of people sort of struggle with, especially with creators online. If a creator does one thing wrong, what happens then is they will never interact with that creator ever again because they've done one thing that they disagree with. And, like, obviously, there are limits. Like, if someone is outwardly, like, racist or transphobic or bigoted or something like that, then obviously I'm no longer going to like them as a person because I fundamentally disagree with their morals and ethics. But, like, in terms of, okay, let's go back to the slap. I literally could care less about the slap. I think people are getting involved in something that has nothing to do with them whatsoever. I think that's a personal issue between Chris fucking Jada and Will. Like, that's something that they need to sort out offline. Because I don't think, like, I don't know. I just don't really believe it's my place to have an opinion on it. And I think, the one thing I do have an opinion on, though, is that the way that society is sort of treating Will Smith for this is insane. Like, the fact that people are talking about, like, stripping him of all his Oscars and, like, never hiring him for a movie and getting his stuff off Netflix and stuff like that ever again because of a slap, I think that's a little bit crazy. Because are you telling me that there is no one in your... Are you telling me that if someone in your life got into an actual physical fight, you would stop being friends with them immediately? You would completely cut them out of your life because they got into a physical altercation? Because, at least for me, the answer to that is no. Definitely not. And I think, especially because there are so many people who continue to have Oscars and literally, like, are so much worse than a slap. Like, fucking John Wayne. Still has all his fucking Oscars, and he was literally, like, physically threatening an Indigenous woman on stage in, like, the 80s, who was giving a speech at the Oscars, and, like, the security guards literally had to physically restrain him so that he didn't go up onto stage and assault her. And when I say assault, I mean, like, actual physical assault, not an open hand slap to the face. The, like, that That is, and he, no one said anything about that, ever. Like, people are saying stuff about it now, 40 years later, but he still has all of his Oscars, all of his credibilities, and is still, like, was still hired in films, even though he displayed this incredibly disgusting behavior.
Yeah. And I think that's coming into, because again, we can go on about this one, but I think it also comes into, and hear me out on this one, how cancel culture can become very cult-like very quickly.
Yeah, very, absolutely. Very quickly.
And I don't mean, like, I know people use the word cancel culture to be able to try to get away from things that they need to take responsibility for. I'm not taking that case. I'm talking about people dragging up things that are so minuscule, or taken out of context, and before you know it, somebody has to grovel and apologize for something that has nothing to do with anything. Or, again, we can use specific examples, but I don't want to call it anybody particular, but if you misunderstand something, right, and you're like, well, because I misunderstand it, that means I can be taken that way, so that means you have to apologize. Come on. Right? It becomes very, very highly.
I think we could do an entire episode about this, and we can move on now to...
Yeah, we could, because I'm just like, wait, we can talk about something completely different here. But again, when it comes to cult-like thought is that usually it's either two things. Either we get the lemmings type situation where one person runs and then a bunch of people run with them, or you have one particular person who likens themselves to be an authority. I don't know if you figured it out by now, but Owen and I are not authorities in any way, shape, or form. We can barely get this fucking podcast, like, straight, for crying out loud.
We do not have the... Well, like, we do have the charisma to be authorities. I think both of us would be really good cult leaders. But, like, yeah, neither of us have, like, super huge followings. Whatever. Yeah. We're not, like... Yeah.
And I think we see it a lot in tarot readers as well. And I think that's where we could really discuss bread and butter wise, because as much as that we like to think of ourselves as influencers, because I do YouTube videos of flipping through cards, and I do my Instagram. We're not influencers. We can't influence anything. I can't even influence my goddamn spouse to go get me the proper ice cream, for Christ's sake. Like, come on. So it gets into... We see it.
Influence is currency, and we are below the poverty line.
We're not. Our exchange rate is not that good. our exchange rate is low.
We are the Canadian dollar.
it hurts. It hurts. So getting at that, I think the problem is that where we do have quote unquote authority or a higher exchange rate is being tarot readers, being in that position of power over clients. And I think that's really important for us to discuss, because we can kind of step back into where we see it on social media, but doing one-on-one, I do see it a lot with a lot of tarot readers who kind of want to almost put themselves in this position of advertising themselves as having all the answers. And that makes you very uncomfortable.
God-gifted abilities, which I have seen far too many times recently.
And it makes me uncomfortable because I have no doubt of my ability to read the cards and be accurate. Frankly, not to be an arrogant asshole right now, but take a look at my reviews. I know what I'm doing. I will be very confident in that. I can tell people I know what I'm doing, but when I am giving you a reading, I am giving you the power to make your own decisions. And I'm telling you how to make those decisions. But I'm not telling you that you have to make the decisions. I'm telling you, hey, this is what's happening. This is how you want to get around it or away from it or with it, depending on how the cards land. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Well, because the thing is, at the end of the day, tarot readers are advisors. They're just sort of there in the background. They're separated from what is going on. And they are giving you advice, and you can choose whether or not to follow that advice. That is completely up to you.
Yeah.
But the problem is when people who are maybe haven't been doing tarot very long, or maybe even some who have, they don't position themselves as advisors. They position themselves as authorities. And like, you have to listen to my advice. You have to listen to what I'm telling you. And they create this sort of sense of panic and urgency in you to give control to themselves and take control over you. And that is a kind of cult-like behavior. And that is when someone makes you feel like that, like they have all the answers and without them you will perish, that is cult-like behavior. And that is something that we see a lot with tarot readers. Yeah. As we were saying.
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to is your tarot reader using tarot as a tool, or are they reading the tarot? Because we see it a lot where people are using it as a tool and that they're more or less kind of putting their own will into things instead of actually, again, reading what's in front of them. I sound like Miss Cleo here, but the cards don't lie. The cards are always going to be accurate. It's going to be my interpretation of them. It's going to be possibly wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that I've been doing this long enough that I'm pretty good at getting the right answer. But I'm not going to lie, because sometimes I get it wrong, right? And that's why I make notes for myself after every one of my readings, because I always want to make sure that I am improving. And I think that no matter how long you've been doing this, you can always improve. And I don't like the people who are just like, I got it all figured out. And we see that a lot often with younger practitioners or practitioners who are starting off. When I say younger, I don't mean necessarily like age-wise younger. You can be 47.
Experience-wise younger.
Yeah, we just see it a lot with younger, and I'll tell you the main reason why. It's not because of their age, it's because of their circle of influence. Again, and I don't mean this age-wise, but like if you're a kid and you're the only one who's reading tarot, you're the only spooky teenager into tarot, you're going to think that you're hot shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of guaranteed. As that teenager, that is who I was back in the day of like 4 years ago. I thought I was hot shit, and I did. And I have, like, that was not a good mindset to have. The mindset that I've got this all figured out. Like, yes, it's great that you're confident, but also you don't know shit. Like, you just don't. You're not, like, I hate to say it, but you're not special. Like, you aren't going to be that one person who can figure tarot out in less than a year, like even less than 20 years. Like, every single day as a tarot reader you are learning, because every single person that comes to you is going to have a different story, and your interpretation of those stories is going to change, and it can be better. Always, it can always be better.
Yeah, and I think we can also say this for a future episode as well, where we're going into like the ethics of tarot. But I think what I'm really just trying to get at is that if you have that sense of arrogance that you have it all figured out and you know some secret knowledge that nobody else knows, I think it just really comes down to that you're not very worldly. You kind of have this, again, this small little circle of influence. And then we see it a lot. People go online, they act like they know everything. They say very wrong things. And then there's no way to correct them.
Sometimes they even write books about it.
Exactly. So they end up straight up. And again, I see this on Discord and like some smaller servers, especially where they're like, I know so much, I can start my own server. And then they get like 200 people joining, right? Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, because they're an admin or a moderator or server owner or whichever, is that they immediately think that they're an expert on everything. And that really sucks. And I'll tell you the main reason why it sucks. It sucks for two reasons. And this is why I wanted to talk about cults, is because likely these people are never going to be cult leaders. They're not going to be authorities or anything. But you can still subscribe to that cult-like thinking about yourself without intending to. If you don't feel like you can be questioned on anything, or conversations need to be shut down because you have a general concept of what it is and you disagree with that person and you have to shut it down, congratulations, you're a cult leader and you're in a cult.
Yeah, congratulations, you're an idiot, first of all, but also you are displaying the behavior of a cult leader. And like, is that really something that you want to do?
Yeah, and the thing is that when we say cults, people think it's huge, right? I always want to make this clear to anybody. If there's going to be anything from this podcast that you're going to take from it, which I don't know why you'd want to take anything, but if you're going to take anything from this podcast, a cult, by definition in size, is 3 or more people.
That's it.
Because
families can be cults.
Yeah. two people is technically just an abusive relationship, but if it's three or more people, that's a cult. So if you are sitting there on the Instagram or on TikTok or whatever, and you have two little lackeys who's on your every word, congratulations, you're a cult leader. Honestly, that is not a compliment. Do not, like, don't let that go to your fucking head. Like,
yeah.
That is not good. So I always try to make it a point. Like, for me and Owen, we're basically an abusive relationship. We're not a cult. Mm-hmm. But...
Continue. I like where you're going with this.
But what it is that if we had all of us agreeing, and that's why anytime I say something, Owen's just like, actually, I disagree. I'm like, please, please knock me down because I need it. And the same goes, like, we are allowed to disagree on things with each other because we do have that relationship, right? But you can see it in podcasts. You can see it in little TikTok groups. You can see it on, like, anything to do with spirituality. The second you get more than two people echoing each other to the point of detriment, it's not good.
And, like, that's, I think, is something that we should get into as well, like, the definition of a cult, because, yes... Oh my god, I just choked on my own words. Cults, by, like, the modern definition and how we use them now, is not the same as how it was used sort of historically.
Yes.
Like, not necessarily, at least, anyway, because, like, let's, for example, talk about the Cult of Dionysus. Very good song, by the way, by Orion Express. I think you should all check it out. But the Cult of Dionysus was just, it was the word used to describe the followers, like the organized followers of Dionysus. It wasn't like a cult where Dionysus was the leader. I mean, like, it was a cult where Dionysus was the leader, but it wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. One thing we should specify, because I know we specified this on our first recording that got lost, is that generally is that a cult in spiritual senses is doesn't always mean what you think it means. It usually just means a coming together.
It's people. More akin to what people would use the word coven for than it is for what people would use the word cult for.
Exactly. So I just want to set the expectation, if you do start reading spiritual books and you do see the word cult, it's not always a bad thing. Especially hearth cult is a really big thing. Hearth cult in cases of like religions that do have multiple gods. I can't think of the word right now.
Polytheistic.
In religions that have multiple gods, when I say multiple gods, I'm talking like 25 plus. Nobody have time for that. Ain't nobody have time for that. So a hearth cult is usually your selected Patreon gods that you would have, right? For myself, I have one.
Patreon gods.
Wow. Patron gods. Wow, again, we don't know how to speak. Patron gods, right?
This would be a great segue if we had a Patreon.
We don't. Don't pay us. For the love of God, don't do that. So when it comes to our patron gods, right? A lot of pagans will only have a couple of them, two or three, right? So they would refer to that as their hearth cult, right? That is very common. So when people are like, yes, my hearth cult, and people are like, you're in a cult? You can just see their faces like turn. It's like, no, relax. You will see the word cult come around often, especially when they're talking historical senses, because there might be some mystery cults where a lot of traditions come from. Cults doesn't always have to be a bad word, but in this context, we're talking about, again, bad cults, a little mini cults.
Yeah, and the thing that I will say is, if someone is using the word cult, the chances are they aren't in one. Because if someone is in a cult or someone is a cult leader, they're not going to be admitting that, like, very often, if ever. I feel like that would kind of defeat the point. The poipus? That would defeat the poipus. You can tell I've been talking to... You can tell that I spent the last 3 days talking to my one friend from New York. But if you see, like, someone talking about their cult in their book, the chances are it's not going to be what you think it is.
Yeah, exactly. And there is, because I know that there's Hecatean cults and stuff like that, and they're just fantastic communities, right? There's a big difference between community and cult. But there can be cults and communities if you do have quote unquote leaders, right? Or people that would want to be leaders. And I can't stop going back to the example of like Discord, because we are, both of us were Discordians. We're on a lot of different Discords. Some of them are in
not Discordianism. Discordianism. I would like to make it clear that I don't support Discordianism.
Discordianism. We're Discordians. No, so like we're in like a lot of different Discords. I think last I checked, we're in like almost like 15.
I'm in 30. Ones. Over 30. Oh, mutual ones. Yeah. I literally counted this the other day and I went, I'm in too many Discord servers. So basically, I hope that you all are aware right now that you're listening to a podcast by two Discord mods. Like, that is the podcast you're listening to.
Pretty much. But what I'm getting at is that I also go on like little mini ones. I just kind of check to see what's going on. I kind of get an idea, go in there, lurk a bit. And the one thing I find is that modship is treated like a cult sometimes, man. And oof, it is rough. Like, you can't question the quote unquote leaders. And they'll claim not to be the leaders, but it's very obvious that the leaders, because they can't be questioned. Or they shut down conversation or something of the sort. And these are generally very benign conversations. So when I say they're benign conversations, is that they're either talking about practices that the people are not familiar with. So they're just like, I don't want to be wrong, so I'm not going to allow you to discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
I see that often enough. Or I see that... they'll either encourage things like, hey, I'm actually hereditary witch from Salem, and I'm
the... Oh yeah, that's another, we need to talk about that as well, like the how, like, in terms of like bloodlines and blood quantum is used as a tool to people to put themselves in authority. Yeah. And then, like, that they have this control and they can create this sort of cult-like mindset in their followers.
Exactly. And I think is that it's very much so either... It doesn't have to be that mystical for it to be cult-like. It's just like, if they're just completely shutting down conversation just because that one moderator has no idea what it means, so they just can't discuss it in their presence, because mm-hmm. how dare they be, like, have somebody else have knowledge over them?
Mm-hmm.
There's that. And then we also see the people who are just like, you're not allowed to do this because I'm just better than you.
Yeah. And, like, I want to make it clear again, obviously, Discord mods shutting down conversations is not necessarily a red flag,
yes,
because that's literally their job. But if they're shutting down every conversation because they don't understand what's happening, red flag.
Yes, I should make it very clear, because I have shut down many conversations not because I didn't know what was happening. I knew exactly what was happening, and it just wasn't going to happen on my watch. And a lot of it has to do with like focism or like things
that bigotry in general.
We're not talking about things like that. I'm talking about like if somebody wants to discuss, I'm trying to think something benign, like
star seeds,
moon water, right? No, star seeds, even that should be shut down, because that has some really racist roots. But
I thought we were looking for things to shut down.
No, looking at things that should not be shut down, like moon water.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's just like moon water, yes, it's annoying, but it is a legitimate practice, right? Something like twin flames, yeah, what's gonna have a discussion about how that's not legitimately a thing, right? There's a difference between shutting down conversations that need to be shut down and then shutting down conversations like, but that's a legit practice, you just don't know. Oh, we're shutting down tarot practice and saying that invokes spirits just because the moderator just doesn't know how to fucking read tarot. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
So, yes, with that being said, we're not implying that this is a blanket term by any means. It's not. But, however, do I see it? Absolutely. And it's always in these very small mini servers, because you have the one person who has all the buttons that they can push to be able to shut down conversations around them. And it's very ripe for cult-like conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just abuse of power. At the end of the day, it's just abuse of power. If someone's abusing their power over you, that's a red flag. Like, keep a watch out for what else they're doing, because the chances are if they're doing that, they're also doing other things.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, they could also just be an egotistical maniac who just loves having power over people. So that might be the only thing that's wrong with them.
Again, I'm not saying these people are cult leaders. I'm saying that if they had the chance, they would be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of the people that we're talking about, like in terms of social media influencers, obviously we're not saying that, like, all of these people are cult leaders. But just when we say, like, cult leader, add on the addition in your mind. It's like, no, but they would if they could.
Yes.
Because that is what we're talking about.
You would if you could. And honestly, I probably would if I could too. Let's be realistic.
I mean, let's be honest, like the concept of a cult, being the concept of being a cult leader sounds amazing.
Oh, God, yes.
Like morally and ethically, it's wrong, but like, yes, please. Like give me that power over people. Give me the money. Give me everything.
Yeah, like we're not
Make
gonna
me the
sit.
center of attention right now.
But joking aside, honestly, it's because of this type of I it's got to be some sort of monkey brain thing where we feel a need to have some sort of like be an alpha position or something of the sort. It's
Pack
something
mindset.
pack mindset, and that's why I always make it a conscious choice to avoid subscribing to that behavior, right? I know that we have very strong opinions on this podcast. I know that we come off a little forceful. I'm like, this is how it is. Honestly, I feel like I'm being quite facetious about things. If I'm given like evidence of the contrary, or if I'm like presented with new evidence, I have no problem changing my opinion. I have no problem giving people space to talk. I have no problem being like, I don't agree with that. I have no problem with that in any way, shape, or form. I never have. Again, I'm just more of a kind of bombastic, facetious type person when I say like, this is
We're
how it
just
is.
both loud people with loud opinions. And like the thing is, at the end of the day, if someone like disagrees with my opinion, I'm not going to like shit myself. Like that's not the end of my world. You're allowed to disagree with me. It's just that I am going to be very vocal about my opinion because I believe that I have done the research and I am educated enough to form an opinion that is most likely the correct answer. Correct in quotation marks.
Or at least correct for my practice.
Yeah,
Right?
absolutely.
Like
And
I
like
can
even
have
if
a practice that's 100% of complete 180 to somebody else's practice, and it can be completely valid.
100%. And that's another thing we see with cult-like mindsets in Discord servers and other small things of the community, like Amino. I was trying to think of that name the last time we were
Amino, yeah.
recording, but Amino. It happens a lot on Amino in different like Amino communities where like people will position themselves as authorities. And what they will do is they say, if you are not doing exactly what I'm doing, you are wrong and you are a bad witch and you are a bad practitioner and you're fake. And the thing with that, there's a couple problems with that, first of all. But the main one is that it's just insane way to be. Like, why are you the okay, no, I'm not even gonna get into that. I'm gonna talk about how they will do this. And usually, especially with Amino, what they will do is they will use witch blood and they'll be like, I'm a hereditary practitioner. And I know we just covered this, but I need to make it clear that if someone is calling themselves a hereditary witch and using it as the sole reason why they should be an authority, watch out. That's kind of a red flag. Like, I position myself semi as an authority on like Irish folk Catholicism because I was raised in it, but I've also done extensive academic research on it.
Yeah, and that's it's such a pain in the ass when it kind of happens. Like, I see that a little too much. And it's funny because I believe that there is a level of hereditariness, and I'll get to that. What I mean is that it's almost like being in a musical family,
Yeah, exactly.
right? If you are raised in a musical family from birth and you hear music all the time, and you pick up your first guitar at 1 and a half and you're blinking on it, you are likely, because you're constantly listening to that language of music, you are likely to be more, I wouldn't say naturally, but you're going to be a little more primed in music than you would for somebody who, a family that has no interest in it, right?
Yeah, because of your environment. You're going to have that advantage. And the thing is, like, that is 100% true and 100% valid. People who have been raised in sort of witchier families do have an advantage when it comes to knowledge. But the thing is, that is not the end all be all of knowledge and being a fucking authority. Like, even if you were raised in this tradition, you were still only raised in your family's traditions. You haven't done extensive research on like what this tradition looked like in its entirety and in its whole. You only have one very, very small piece of the puzzle. And the thing is, like the way that I practice like Irish folk Catholicism is what I would call Irish folk Catholicism, but other people in other parts of the country will practice it completely differently, and it will still be Irish folk Catholicism. it just won't be exactly what I'm practicing. And so, like, just because I sort of disagree with what they're doing, or it's not something I would do myself, it doesn't mean that they are wrong, and that we are still both equally Irish folk Catholics.
Yeah. And I think that it also comes into how much of it is just same brain kind of attitude, same DNA. Because what I mean by that is that my my dear cousin, which we did not spend a whole lot of time together as children, because there's this kind of family, between the parents, there's family drama. So we kind of came together later in life, right? And we're very, very similar. And she just recently picked up her first tarot deck, and she started drilling me. So I basically sat there and I answered all her questions. I'm like, this is some advanced stuff, but I'm going to answer your questions. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and put you through. I'm like, here, I gave her a book. I gave her Tarot No Questions Asked by Teresa Reed. I'm like, here's your book. She's like, cool. I'm going to ask you all these questions though. And she asked me all these questions. And basically I start putting her through tarot drills, right? Where I sat there as the seeker. And I made up a scenario in my head and I asked questions and I got her to pull up cards and got her to divine the nature of it. And I was very shocked with how quickly she was picking up without picking up a tarot deck in her entire life. But I don't think that's necessarily a magical thing, because we also have to consider that mundane and magical are kind of intertwined to each other. I think we just have the same thinking process, and then she was able to pick up on things similar how I would read things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing as well. Like, we are going to be naturally inclined towards certain things, and that's either going to be because of our genetics or because of our environment or whatever. Yeah. But the thing is, when people are basing all of their soul, like, their sole like source of info is themselves, and the reason being that they are this like insane sort of hereditary witch run.
Yeah, and run, that's what run. I was getting at, is that I was trying to say that neither of us are special. I think the reason why we were reading very similar, and reason why she was picking up on things, is because it was more or less she was excited that it was something that we could do together. And it was mm-hmm. kind of the interest that she had. And I think that we have a very similar thought process of how we process things. And that's where she was able to pick up on a similar reading style. So for me to be like, oh my God, it's because of our witch blood. Somebody shoot me in the head if I've ever said that. I think it has everything to do with that we are family. And we're going to have similarities in that regard. So I basically said a very long-winded way of saying, you're not fucking special. Relax.
Yeah, you got there in the end, though. You did.
I got, there in the end, because I had to use an example of a story there. Because, and the thing is that the reason why I had to mention it is because I believe that these people believe that. I think that they think that because they have a knack for it, that they're special. There's a lot of things that I have a knack for that are not magical in sense at all. Mm-hmm. Like, my spouse is a math nerd. Good God, he can figure out anything in his head, and his family's like that. Does that mean that they're immediately going to be like magical?
Genetically mathematicians.
Yeah, genetically they're calculators. Are they going to be genetically, they're going to be like ceremonial magicians at this point? No.
Yeah, I've got math blood.
Yeah, I got math blood. Exactly. It's no, it's just, there's just a little part of their brain that kind of picks up on that. And I am very much so a believer that anybody can be magical. Right?
Yeah.
It's just like, I just don't have any interest in it. When you're just fine. Honestly, this is a lot of work. It's a religion with homework. So again, to just say that they're an authority or they're special because they're very good at this one particular thing. Nah, I just think you're a nerd just like the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 100%. At some point we do need to say the word the Emperor. I've realized we're 45 minutes in and we haven't.
We got the gist. No, we complained about the Emperor earlier because I said it's your fault that we've lost two recordings.
It is.
It's all Ellen's fault. Shun the disbeliever here. Shun Owen. As your cult leader, I'm telling you to shun Owen and punish him because he shat all over the Emperor, and this is our punishment. This is what you get for not listening.
I will learn from my mistakes. But basically, we've been giving all of these examples and telling all these stories, and I would like to sort of summarize with the reason we're giving you all of these examples is because all of them are examples of cult-like behavior. All of them are things you need to watch out for, and all of them are things you're going to see every single day in your everyday life, even from people who are your friends and your family. And it's one or two characteristics of a cult leader does not make a cult leader. Sometimes people just, so like, don't just start going around calling everyone like cult leaders and like being insane.
Please don't, like, turn cult leaders and cult into the new word gaslighting, for love of God. Don't do that.
Well, yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. We're begging
you. Or like, yeah. And it's like, it's a very nuanced topic, and I would recommend reading some of Lifton's work on it if you want to learn a little bit more about cults, especially in terms of psychology. And yeah, I had a point, and I've lost it.
I think the point that we're trying to get at is that we go on about cults a lot, but honestly, over the three recordings that we've had on this, I think it just really comes into authority and abuse of power, right? Because we don't want to accuse people of being in cults or making cult things, because honestly, if you start doing that, the people, they're not going to take you seriously. Because when people think cults, they think of, again, the big ones. They think, actually, I'll give you a good example because it's defunct now, like Heaven's Gate. They're thinking about like the big cults, right? And things like that. So if you start using cult around to insult people, it's not going to work. One, what it is that we want you to understand that there is going to be people out there that's going to abuse their authority by all means. And honestly, I don't think that we're necessarily above abusing our authority, even if we don't intend to. And I think that really comes into where, at least for myself personally, I always try to be self-reflective, because I know that I can have a bit of a forceful personality, a bit of an abrasive personality. And it's not because I intend to override people or to shut people up. It's just more or less, I'm very firm in my beliefs.
Look, let's put this very simply. You are a bitch.
Yep. And I'm okay with that, because frankly, it's gotten me out of more trouble than it's gotten me into. I just have, my hooves are very firmly planted in the ground. I am a donkey, and good luck moving me.
I wouldn't say a devil, but that works too.
No, just a donkey. I don't want anybody to think that somebody being stubborn is somebody who's necessarily looking for authority either. Because sometimes people are just stubborn, and honestly, sometimes you need to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing at the end of the day. Like, there is nuance to it. Not everyone displaying these characteristics is going to be a cult leader. But that also leads to, when you're pulling the emperor, like practically in a reading, if you're pulling the emperor for someone, that does not necessarily mean that they're going to be joining a cult or that they're a cult leader.
This is not tarot talk. This is just us complaining about people getting a little too big for their britches. Like, relax.
Yeah. And these are all sort of circumstances and examples where the emperor would have applied. The emperor applies to cults and cult-like mindsets, but it does not solely apply to cults and cult-like mindsets.
Yeah.
It can also literally just be like a signifier card for like your boss. Like, it's not.
Listen.
Sometimes it's just not that deep.
There is no bigger cult than friggin' your job. Like, there's a boss on the top and you better obey. Otherwise, instead of you paying the boss pays you. And if you don't do the right thing, you don't get paid. Like, Listen.
We could get into exploitation of the lower class and how that is a cult in and of itself. But that is a whole, that's not even a whole different episode. That's a whole different podcast.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We're just like, you know,
we should do like a series of the Soothsayer's Tea gets political.
Gets political. You don't even want to know. I will also say this just because we do have a lot of our friends who listen to this podcast, a lot of them I love dearly, who are on the Discord. This is not about anybody in particular. I just realized that this might come off. You know which Discords we're talking about. It's the little ones, the little crazy ones where all of them think that, again, they're like descendants from Salem.
If you're listening to this, we're not talking about you, I promise.
Except for you, Jim. It's about you. No, seriously, joking aside, we know, I would hope that people know that we're not, or even like the people who are listening to this podcast, who are members, this is not like any secret tea that we're pulling out here. We're literally just talking about, like, again, Discords that we are not attached to in any way, shape, or form, that we just happen to join, laugh at, and leave. So yeah. I just want to set that expectation right now. If we're if we have any opinion of the leadership of any of these discords, we just don't engage.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, keep that in mind when listening. Yeah.
I just realized I'm just like, oh my gosh, somebody's gonna think that we're talking about like we're shit talking, like one of our friends, something that starts like, no, we're not, we're really not.
Like we're just both inflammatory people and did not think of the consequences of this until apparently the third recording of the episode. But we move.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, exactly. Again, I think I'm more or less using this again. I see this a lot. It's like the little role play servers. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The little role play servers where. You can tell that
they're no, really you just fucking laughing. Nerd. No one knows what you're talking about.
Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we're talking about like those Discord servers that are very, very clearly, they like read all of Lore Olympus, and now they're going in and they're acting like that they're big old pagans and they're god spousing, and they're like those servers. Those are the ones that are super awkward. There's always some hereditary witch at the top of it. That's always terrible. It's always terrible to watch, but I do go in there and I peek because I just want to laugh at them without them knowing they don't know. Although they're going to know now. Anybody who's listening to this is going to know if they show up there and I don't say a word.
You're going to have to get, especially because I've been posting screenshots of our conversations on Discord. And so you're going to have to like, you're going to have to make an alt Discord account so that people don't know it's you.
I'm going to have to. Well, no, you'll know because I'll slip into your server. I will point and laugh. And then I might leave. Sometimes I might just stay.
Maybe you're just a troll. Maybe you're just an internet troll. I think you could just possibly be an internet troll. Yeah.
Just abusing my
authority. Not the emperor though. You're not the emperor. You're the goblin.
Oh god, no, I am in way too many servers and 90% of them I don't even look at. I just pay attention to 3 or 4 at this point in my life because again, if I don't comment your
server, we are not the emperor. We don't have the time. We don't have the bandwidth to be in control of that much.
Oh my gosh. What card are we? What card are we?
That is a good question. I know that I am definitely at a period of my life where I am very much the fool. But in terms of the podcast, I'm thinking maybe fucking oh my god. Hold on. Temperance?
I don't know, it's kind of cute though, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe Temperance, but like reversed.
Oh my god. Hello. Were we just like...
But you know what? We are the two of fucking pentacles in reverse.
We're something. Yeah. The two of pentacles. Yeah, no, that sounds right, because we can't figure anything out for the life of us, even if we wanted to, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Especially in terms of like losing... like the time management battle, not being able to manage our time at all.
Oh my gosh. And I don't think people realize, I think the reason why this is a little disjointed as well is because we literally just like talked for 2 hours before this, just talking about dumb shit. Just
that was when we were fucking talking about people. That was when we were spilling tea. That was a different conversation. Okay.
Yeah, that's when we were spilling tea. We're just like, oh, this is what's happening, and friggin' some 14-year-old's Discord that they made because you know they're possessed by you know Satan 10 times over. Oh my god, so good.
And with that, I think we can end today's episode with 13-year-olds being possessed by Satan. but yeah, I think I am going to share with Kateri, because I'm not sure if any of you know this, but I do almost none of the work for this podcast. Kateri does absolutely everything, and so we should all appreciate her for that. But I am going to be sharing with Kateri some links and shit. About cult-like behavior, what to do if you think someone you know is in a cult, what to look out for and stuff like that, and those are going to be in the descriptions of all of the episodes on all across the platforms, maybe. definitely maybe I will add some to the link tree as well, so that you can all check it out and stay safe and be happy and safe in your witchcraft communities. And with that, thank you very much for listening. I've been Owen on Kylock. You can find me on Instagram, I think, and Twitter, and in the description below. Just go to the description. You'll see me.
And I am Kateri, also known as Phenoxes or Ven, whoever you want to call me. I don't care. vinoxys.net. You can also find me at vinoxys on Instagram, where I'm most active, but you'll also find me on Facebook and not so much Twitter, but I'm on Twitter as well.
Listen.
It's cross-posted. So I just post on Instagram, I post on Facebook. It's instant. Again.
I know how it works. I deliberately disable that every time I make an Instagram post because not Facebook.
Listen, again, we have two very different client base.
Listen. Okay, grandma. We move.
Okay. Don't even. We're trying to do an outro here and you're being a nurse.
Okay. And with that, thank you very much, everybody. We will see you on Monday for Tarot Talk.
See ya.
Thank you.